Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is, as always, great to see you, especially after the weird week that we've just had. It's nice to be gathered together in the warmth of each other's hearts and in the warmth of this room. I read a piece by the columnist Arthur Brooks this week talking about friendship, and it occurred to me that I might share it with you. He makes the distinction between our real friends and our deal friends. Your deal friends are the people that are useful to you, the folks who you trade favors with, the folks that might help you get ahead or get your needs met. Your deal friends also include those people that you find attractive, that you just enjoy being around because somehow their charisma fuels you. But your real friends, Brooks says, are the people that aren't necessarily useful to you, that aren't really giving you anything, but people that you just happen to love. And he says it is in having friends like that, friends that aren't part of the bigger economy of trading and getting, friends that aren't necessarily about pursuing our interests, but just about being human beings and loving each other. Those are the folks that are the key to a sense of meaning in our lives. And those of us who have more friends like that are more likely to have a rich and grounded spiritual experience. I found this a provocative idea, and I reflected on it this week, putting my friends into two categories. Which are the ones that I am going after because they're good for me? And which are the people that through habit God has given me to love, and I just get to practice being a human being with them? I think about this in the context of Jesus' warning to his disciples and to the Pharisees. When you have a party, don't invite your friends. Invite the people that can't pay you back, because that's how you get the blessing that you are really after. I'm thinking about these ideas this week because in the gospel reading today, Jesus is challenging us to answer the question, how much joy are you really finding in your life? How much joy are you finding in your discipleship? How much joy are you finding in trying to follow God to the best of your ability? Do you ever feel like salt that's lost its saltiness? Do you ever feel like your light is under a bushel? Are you doing the best you can to be a good person? Are you trying to do what you think is right, and yet your heart still feels like it's shrinking? And Jesus says to the people that are listening to him, perhaps it's because your relationship to the law, your way of thinking about being a good person has become a trap, and it's shrinking you and narrowing you. And as someone who doesn't want to waste his life, not this week, not the next stage that might be ahead, not whatever is left, I lean in and listen closely to say, what is Jesus offering me? There are times when I have felt like I have lost my salt. There are times when I am very clearly feeling like my light is underneath a bushel basket. I remember times when I would walk down the drag across from the University of Texas, and I was doing everything I could not to look at the people that were sitting on the stairs in front of the church or the folks at the street corners that wanted something from me, that I was very strongly defended because I just didn't have anything for them. I just didn't want to see, and I really did want to get on with the urgent matter of taking care of my students, getting my job done, and yes, being a good person. And I remember the day that I was coming out of a restaurant with my leftover lunch in a box, and there was a young fellow sitting on the stair outside who looked like he'd probably been sleeping under the stars, and he might have been hungry, and I thought, I'm going to be a good person, and I said, would you like the rest of my lunch? And he said, I really would. And I gave him the box, and I walked around the corner feeling very proud of myself. And as soon as I got around the edge of the building, I heard a very strong voice inside of me say, you dummy, you were supposed to sit down and eat with him. That was the gift. You missed the point. And I went back around the corner, and he was gone. I started to reflect to myself, what would it mean to actually engage the possibilities that Jesus offers us for how to be together, for how to show love, for how to think about folks who have less than we do? What would it look like to engage that possibility with playfulness? Not with trying to do things right, but rather with a possibility that the Spirit might meet us there, which means taking risk, which means looking undignified, which means letting go of control. I think that's what Jesus is saying to us today. I'm not coming to give you new rules. I'm not coming to abolish the law. What I'm coming to do is show you a new way to dance with it. I'm showing you a new way to look at it, to think about it. Because the law was always meant to be dance steps on the floor. And if you're so obsessed with making sure your feet wind up in the right spot so you don't look stupid, you're going to miss all the fun of dancing. You've got to listen to the music. You've got to be willing to follow your partners. You've got to be willing to let whatever is in you that seeks to express itself with joyfulness come out, even if it's messy, even if it's undignified, even if it's not what you planned, and even if other people don't know how to understand it. I spend most of my time trying to do things right. My muscles for judgment are strongly exercised. And as a result, I'm chewing on myself all the time. All the stuff I've done wrong, all the stuff that is mixed motives, all the stuff that probably looks stupid. But there are some moments when somehow, by the grace of God, that goes away. And it usually goes away when I'm in the presence of someone that God has sent me to dance with. I remember 20 years ago, I was walking through the grounds of the seminary long before I taught there. And the woman who taught in the pastoral ministry program was standing on the sidewalk. And I must have been floating because something was good that day. And she said, "What's up with you?" And I said, "I feel very close to God today." And she said, "That won't last." She says, "But with practice, you can feel that more often." I had a student in a class that I was teaching about theology of money. And she said that her understanding of the gospel was summarized by Jesus' commandment to give to everyone who asks of you. And her classmates said, "Well, what are you giving people?" And she said, "Oh, I'm not giving people anything. I'm scared of folks that are asking for things. I don't want to, as a woman, make myself vulnerable out in public. I don't want to do something foolish." And I said, "Well, maybe we can let you off the hook on this one. Maybe Jesus was being naive when he said to give to everyone who asks you." And she said, "No, don't take that away from me. That's the most beautiful possibility in the Bible." And she sat there stewing. She had a commandment that she couldn't ignore, but one that she didn't know how to respond to without making herself seem naive or judged by her parents who said that she was too free with her money or afraid of not being responsible and grown up. And as she sat there with a cloud over her head, and the rest of us continued with our discussion, the Spirit was moving until finally she just burst out and said, "Ha! It doesn't say money." And her classmates said, "What?" She said, "It says give to everyone who asks you, but it doesn't say money." And one of her classmates said, "So what are you going to do?" She said, "This week, I'm going to give my attention, my full attention to everyone who's asking for something." And she seemed charged up and excited and steeled for some kind of adventure. So the next week, we came back to class and everybody wanted to know, "What happened? Did you give to everyone who asked?" She said, "I did." And they said, "What happened? Did you give them money?" She said, "People aren't asking for money." I said, what happened? She said, "When I looked into people's eyes, I realized that just being there with them in that moment, I had something for everyone who asked." Her classmate said, "Are you going to give them money next time?" She said, "I don't know. But what I know is that because God is in me, I have something for everyone, and I am not afraid to see their need or my own. Jesus is reminding the people that are listening to him in the Sermon on the Mount of the real possibility of Israel. The real possibility that we heard this morning in this reading from Isaiah, that in a place, a country, a community where people are really practicing playful, crazy acts of care for the poor, not public works programs that solve problems, but the spiritual presence to see other people as human beings and dance with them for a moment as we go about the daily business, that in those places, those communities shine like a light that draw other people to it. This is what Israel was meant to be, a light to the nations, so that through Israel and God's covenant with Israel, the Gentiles, the nations, us could come to the light. And what Jesus is saying in the sermon is, you don't want to put that under a bushel. And if the salt has lost its savor and the light is not beaming, then consider that you may be too focused on the dance steps on the floor, and you may have forgotten to look into the eyes of other people where you will see the Spirit, where you will see God, where you will get an invitation. Now, my students are making me practice this all the time, and my friends are making me practice this because I talk about it, and they're always asking me, what have you tried lately? This whole idea of crafting small experiments to test if some of this might be true. Because I can't rely on myself to remember that God is at work in the world, that the Spirit is already out there changing things, that my attention to other people unleashes miracles. I don't believe that. But in the moments that I try little things that I can bear to risk, that I can bear the cost of, then these things can be proven true. I want to encourage you to try some of these small experiments. Try taking little risks to see whatever you're ignoring, to let the Spirit speak to you in a way that you're not sure where it's going to lead, and let God dance with you in the presence of these opportunities that present themselves all the time. I had a very unpredictable experience recently when I went to get my tires aired up, and it just reminded me that the practice of whatever risk we're willing to take is enough for the Spirit that is in us to discern the depths of the Spirit of God and to return to us with fuel and courage and creativity. The man who was airing my tires had a tattoo on the back of his neck. I could see it under the collar of his coveralls. And the Spirit just wondered in me at that moment, what is this man's life like? Where does he see love? How does he know God? God, what gift are you trying to give me through the presence of this brother? And the man looked up from the tires at me and said, what kind of work do you do? And I said, I'm a teacher. He said, where do you teach? I said, at the seminary. And then he looked up with his full height and said, are you a pastor? And what the Spirit gave me to say at that moment, which I have no recollection of deciding to say, was, do you need a pastor? And he said, I need someone to pray with me. And I said, how shall we pray? He said, I need peace and positivity. I'm trying to do right by my children, and it's hard. And so we prayed right there together at the car. And then he said, where's your church? And I said, I don't have a church, but there's a church close to here that I know you would be welcome at, and they would sure like to meet you. And he said, well, tell me how to get there. So I texted him directions to my home parish, and he texted back to say that he had gotten it. And then over the next few weeks, we started texting each other prayers. I now have a friend who is not a deal friend. He is a real friend. And we send each other prayers and thoughts and presence and encouragement. And in that communication, I experience the gift of God. Do you ever feel like you've lost your salt? Do you ever feel like the light is under a bushel? Do we feel like we're flagging because we are disconnected from the joy that we have known in the Spirit at another time? You can't feel it all the time, but with practice, you can feel it more often. If you try some of these small experiments and let Jesus invite us to experience the dance steps on the floor, our rules for being good in a different, more playful, loosely held way, then the Spirit can come in and, thanks be to God, repeat the miracles of Jesus in our own life, in our own community. Thanks be to God.